Hello, everyone. It's Hannah Nieves of the HN Health Podcast, and I'm so excited because I have a dear past client, a dear friend, someone who I just adore so greatly, Dr. Christy Kaderian, joining us on the podcast today. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Hannah. The adoration goes both ways. I just love you. I'm so excited to be on.
This is a long time coming, and I feel like there's just so much that we could dive into here. And before this episode started, I was just sharing with Christy too that, we recently did an episode all on marriage and relationships from my own personal perspective as a founder, but I wanted to bring in the expert here. So can you just give us a quick overview into who you are and your background?
Sure. My name's Dr. Christy Kaderian. My background is as a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I'm also a psychologist, and I really specialize in dating and relationships. A huge piece of my career was seeing couples in marriage and family therapy, premarital counseling, and then I kind of took a foray into matchmaking, worked for some of the top dating sites in the country, and really studied compatibility. So I wanted to know what makes two people a good fit so they don't end up in the therapy office for a bad reason. I always say, you could be in therapy as a positive, proactive thing. It's not because you have problems, but I'm sure I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But yeah, I'm just so passionate about relationships on all levels now as an entrepreneur and business owner and someone who helps people find love. I've found that relationships are so central to basically everything we do, your relationship with yourself, to others, to God, to your spouse, to friendships, community, your clients. So we really have to learn about how do we have healthy relationships and allow that to create the life that we desire as well, and kind of let that be fluid. I read a statistic recently that the quality of your relationships is the single highest determining factor of your well-being more than any other thing. So I think that, and especially, people that listen, I'm a big HN House podcast listener too, but I think people and women that listen, we're really striving and successful in many areas of our life, but sometimes find that the relationship piece, especially with your partner, can fall by the wayside. And it's like, how do we create that success and allow that to translate? And it's some of the same things, but it's a lot of different ones. So I think part of my story is learning on my own as well and making that journey, sharing my learning with my clients and people. So I'm excited.
Amazing. So this is actually a really good place to start here because we have a lot of founders from all different backgrounds, walks of life, levels as well. When it comes to these founders, what are, I guess, like some of the common things that you see, when clients come to you to work with you when it comes to their relationships? Any commonalities or things that you want to share to kick us off?
Sure. So one, I guess, common denominator or thread is really that a lot of women that are founders have an amazing determining quality, which is perseverance, persistence, kind of that drive, like the ambition. And in a lot of ways, obviously, there's no journey that's linear, but a lot of times we can quantitatively look at our success. We can say, okay, these are the benchmarks. This is what I do. A lot of it is the science of things. Obviously, there's an art, but we get really good at climbing the ladder, whatever that looks like. If you're in corporate, you're like, okay, I need to do this next thing to get to this level, to get to this level. We're very goal-oriented. Same if you're a founder, you're like, okay, hit this benchmark. What's the next thing? What do I need to do? And a lot of that is kind of in the doing energy. Whereas a lot of relationships, especially if you're a woman, you want to lean into the being. Obviously, it takes work to be in a good relationship, but you also want to lean into that presence, the allowing, the flow, what we might call, the feminine energy. And that is a really hard switch for a lot of women who feel like there is a formula to success. And if I just do these things, I'm going to get this result. Doesn't work like that in relationships often. And so, how do we shift that? How do we say, okay, how do I take my hands off and stop controlling kind of the outcome here and really lean into how do I be the person that is in a relationship, creates a dynamic that I desire? And it's not about getting all the things done and the checklist and all of that.
Oh, that was like a mic drop moment as we just kicked off, because I'm sure there's so many people that are like, wow, yes. And I'm saying that too, because I know I've struggled with that a lot as a founder and in my marriage too. But once I really started tapping into the feminine energy, which I know for at least me personally was like a wounded area from childhood that I had to like release, it was a game changer for our marriage and our relationship. Which brings me to, so you mentioned too, kind of like tapping into or releasing the need for control, but any other areas that really, or I guess secret sauce tips, you know, when it comes to really creating just like a healthy dynamic, a healthy relationship as a founder and CEO?
Yeah, I think one exercise that I recommend doing with all my clients that are in these like powerful CEO, founder positions is noticing. We often think that a lot of our success is because of things that we did and how we had control and like more of that stereotypically masculine energy. But I recommend kind of doing this exercise of reflecting on your journey and noticing how many things came together because, if you believe in God or whatever timing, et cetera. So much is the art of things that when we look back, we're like, wow, all of those things did kind of flow together. Obviously, I did the work. I didn't just say, it's all manifest and I did nothing and whatever. Obviously, we're hands-on in the process, but a lot of times the things and the beautiful moments in our career came just from like, oh, it just kind of happened naturally, and I was ready to receive and implement. And once you notice that, I think there's a big mindset shift that happens for a lot of my clients is that they notice there was so much out of their control where they thought was in their control, but it's almost like an illusion. And then if we translate that to our relationships, noticing like, wow, when I take my hands off of something, I actually get the result a lot quicker. So the stereotype is, for women, if they're like, okay, they're telling their husbands, did you do this, this, and this? Because this is what's going to create, the life that we want. Or like, okay, we're going to do this and kind of being the leader and the spearheader of these things. When you notice that you take that shift, it might create the result that you want a lot quicker than if you're trying to push and, make things happen quickly. And so noticing times in your life where that's happened naturally can help you almost relax into like, oh, if I take this kind of like this other approach, it might actually create the result I want a lot quicker. And I find that definitely happens in the dynamic of relationships when one, the woman is more of the leader in a lot of ways, that might allow the man to not feel like he can kind of take on that role. So if we lean back, we might actually inspire what we want to create.
Oh, I love that. Are there any, you know, when it comes to those types of things, right? Like sometimes even having those conversations can be tough. What do you recommend to clients when they're in that dynamic? Maybe they've had a partner that's expressed to them that says, you know, listen, you're in control all the time, and I feel like I can't make decisions. Or maybe, you know, God forbid, maybe they're feeling like they're kind of like living in the shadows a little bit, because I feel like that also comes up. And maybe they've expressed it to them. Like, what would you recommend they do? Like, any tips on communication there, on how to like even just open up that conversation? Because I feel like that's a very delicate conversation to have too.
Totally. Yeah. And I think most of the founders that I work with, I would say everyone has this intention in their business to create a culture of appreciation. So when you think of like your team, you always want to, give them, as we know, like the critique sandwich. It's like positive affirmation. Here's an idea of what you can do different. And all, and then here we're ending it with positive affirmation, and not that your spouse is your employee, or for some people, some founders, female founders, that is the case. Like you guys work together, but think on a higher level, how can I create this culture of appreciation? And even things that you feel like, well, they should just do that, or like there's resentment around things of I'm the breadwinner, so like, they need to pull their weight or whatever. How can you look at every little thing as a piece of gratitude? So like, how can I be grateful for whatever they do bring into the dynamic? Because, how they say it's like, You have to really create this positive culture so that you're going to get the results that you want. That intrinsic motivation is so much better for people than the external motivation. So if they feel like, wow, I'm appreciated and loved, especially men, like, wow, like she really values what I do, I want to do more. It's just really natural rather than looking at the lack. And we say this in so many ways in business, but you know, abundance mentality, not scarcity and all that, but then it's so easy to seep into our relationships. So you want to continue that culture, appreciation, gratitude, abundance. You're going to see that in your life as well as you have in your business and finances.
Oh, that is so good. And I really appreciate that too, because I know, and I share openly on this podcast too, but like, I mean, Josh and I have been together for going on 12 years now. It's like 5.5 years married at this point. And like, we've been through the highs and lows, which I'm sure you and your husband too have been through the highs and lows as well. And there was a period where I wasn't like aware of the things I was saying. And I would say things, you know, like in not even thinking of, oh, well, you know, if I don't work this hard, we can't have this lifestyle. And like by saying that, it was like subconsciously, you know, demeaning to him because I'm the breadwinner. And it's like, oh, well, I can't be enough at that quality. And then it creates this weird competition in your marriage that's like, it's such an interesting dynamic. But it's like once, like you said, like once you get that awareness of like, hey, I'm actually saying these things, or I'm not even realizing I'm saying these things, you can open up a conversation for a deeper discussion, which I know is so hard to have. Mm-hmm. So as far as, you know, going through, I kind of want to shift gears here a little bit. And I talk about this too on the podcast. I went through a miscarriage last year, which you know about, and it really was probably one of the toughest things that I've gone through in a very long time. And it definitely put a strain on our marriage, not in the sense of, you know, are we going to make it through that? But to see both partners go through grief while running a business was, I'm going to be honest, like really freaking hard. Mm-hmm. And we're still working through things there. So what are your tips or recommendations for people that go through life's challenges while married, while, you know, running a business? Anything that you recommend to clients there?
Yeah, I think that it's so real and so not talked about a lot. And I appreciate you like bringing that up. And in my personal life, our relationship too, we also went through a miscarriage, which was our first kind of experience being pregnant. I know a lot of people suffer through loss. And I think that often creates such a different experience, because when you both experience the same type of grief, you both have the same loss, but you experience it in such different ways, which we know men and women around, you know, pregnancy loss just experience it so differently. And we all handle grief in different ways. And I think like for me, a big thing that was important was being able to communicate kind of the different layers of the loss for me, and how with my husband, it was more of just like, he also has a different take on things and kind of has more of like positive, you know, wanting to like, oh, it's okay, like next time. And like kind of communicating to him, like, yeah, I do believe we're going to get pregnant again. I know that that's possible. But right now, like, I just have to kind of sit with the grief, and this is how I process it. And this is specifically what is going to be helpful for you to do for me. And when you create that kind of like, hey, like we're going through something, like this is actually what's most helpful for me, you're not creating this thing that we often do, which is they should just read my mind, or they should just be naturally doing whatever I think is the best thing for our relationship or healing. So for me, I just told him, hey, like, I just need you to hold the space for me to be able to grieve. So I don't want to rush through this. I don't want it to be like, oh, okay, things will work out. And they do. And they did. I just need you to be able to like hold that and tolerate that for me, and not tolerate that I'm not like my happy self. And that was so hard for him. So it was like, how can he do that tangibly? And the more that we're able to really communicate clearly, and maybe getting the help of, you know, we had a therapist during that time that really helped us communicate to each other, but getting the help of a professional to say, hey, like, this is what they're saying, kind of like help translate and mediate that conversation, can actually deepen your connection so much more. And especially if you're a founder and in that role, it can kind of show like, wow, she does really need me in this way and support me, rather than it being like, oh, she's, you know, I think nowadays we often have this hyper independence, especially in female founders, like, okay, I don't want anyone to control me or my finances or anything like that. So I'm going to kind of take this into my hands. And sometimes that creates like this feeling that they don't need, you know, we don't need them. We make our own money. We're the breadwinner. We don't need that partnership. So when you create that, like, hey, I need you and I want you to help me in this way, it becomes so healing too for the relationship and for your own grief in different ways.
I love that you brought that up too, because that is a big piece to this whole dynamic of being the breadwinner. And I've noticed this in even in my own relationship too, where it was the other day I was joking around with like, I would love to get this as a push present, just joking around. And I was like, just kidding, just kidding. He's like, no, you know, actually I really love that you asked me like to, you know, to buy that for you, you know? And it didn't even like dawn on me, because, you know, obviously as a breadwinner, and I'm sure you can, you know, relate to this too, like you can just go out and get whatever you want. So sometimes you don't even think to be like, hey, can you maybe support me with it? And I didn't realize how much that made him feel so seen and heard and just like valued, even though it's like a physical exchange there. But I think it's like what you said too, just like that open line of communication is just so key. And that's, I mean, quite literally comes down to communication at the end of the day. And that's what is so successful. So I want to kind of talk about a little bit of a taboo topic, which is money in relationships and marriage here. So I'd love to know from your perspective, because of course, money, and especially this could open up a whole can of worms when you talk about generational trauma and typically in different types of backgrounds and upbringings, like the dynamics of money in relationships can be tough. Do you, I guess, like, how would you recommend to clients when they're approaching money in their relationships, especially as the breadwinner?
Yeah, it is such a huge topic. And I think especially for female founders who are, you know, breadwinners or making significant, and we talk about this a lot in our world, like, you know, high six, seven, eight figures, like money has just totally transformed so many lives, just tangibly, and families in such positive ways. And yet it still becomes the number one thing that couples fight about, whether it doesn't matter what income level you're at. And that's what's so fascinating about the research is you think like so often you think, oh, if I just make this much money, it's not going to be a problem. But I will tell you, I have seen many a couple in the like nine figure range, and it is still as problematic as it was before you even made, you know, $10,000 in your business. So what does that tell us? It tells us that money has a lot of meaning for people that has nothing to do with money. So money signifies so much for people. And like you said, has that generational meaning as well, signifies freedom for in a positive way, also power and control. Whoever makes the money, historically, as we know in society, women haven't had that. The man has always had the money. And I think it was since the 1970s, I was reading, weren't even able to buy, you know, a home without a man co-signing or take out a bank account. So women have historically been left out of that. So we're really the first generation of women, I would say, that have this completely different relationship with money, are the breadwinners, are, you know, able to kind of provide for our families. And so that's created a huge dynamic shift. And what I usually recommend, especially if you're trying to kind of tap more into that feminine energy, is to try to take the added meaning out of money of, okay, because I make the money, then I, you know, have the control or power or whatever. And see your marriage, your partnership as a team, and the money as a vehicle rather than the power and the control. If I make this money, you should do this because I have this, you have this. Instead of a you versus them, it's like, it's both of us and we have this money and we want it to create this type of lifestyle. And any argument, I think if you take out, like just pretend money didn't have the power it did, you probably solve that argument a lot quicker. But sometimes what happens is we take the money out, it creates, it reveals that women often have some resentment when they're in these high power positions of like, what have I sacrificed to make this money? And then that's where the real conversation happens of like, okay, I wish that he could do this, this, and this. So maybe you do want to keep the pace you have. Great. You know, maybe you don't. Great. So that's where the real conversation happens, when we stop using mm-hmm. money and like the power play of like, oh, you know, I'm working this much and I create all this for you. Like, what are you doing? Like, kind of taking that out. Like, okay, I'm doing all this. Do I want to be? Do I have to be? How can we be a team and use the money to create what we want, rather than the money controlling our relationship dynamic and who feels more mm-hmm. powerful or not?
Woo, that is so good. So many takeaways here. Yeah. And I really resonate with that too, because that was a big conversation for my husband and I, you know, especially being the breadwinner as well, is like understanding the dynamic and the decisions that we were making. And it's a really big thing. It's a big conversation, you know, especially when it comes to money and coming from a Latin household too, where it's just like normally this conversation just doesn't happen. So I really, really resonated with that deeply. So I'd love to shift gears here and just talk a little bit about, you know, and we've also experienced this too with clients specifically going through this, which is divorce or loss or going through separation, or maybe they're, you know, God forbid, going through a really unhealthy, toxic relationship. And I've experienced this from working with clients who are going through it. What are some like words of advice or just anything you'd like to share when it comes to, you know, finding love again after going through a transition?
Yeah. And this is something that I love empowering women to do. I think oftentimes we feel like there's some formula for healing from these difficult separation, divorce, trying to get back out there. But really what I say is like, going towards the life relationship dynamic that you want is so possible with the right support. So always getting the support, I think, is so huge. And we talk about this in business and a lot, having the right like mentorship or community, the mm-hmm. same with like dating and relationships, making sure you're aware of your patterns, the mindset piece and the strategy piece. So it's like that inner work, making sure you can work through that so you don't repeat any patterns or attract the same type of person. And then also like the strategy piece, like maybe you're re-entering the dating world in a completely different place. Maybe you were in that relationship or marriage before you started your business, and now you're in just like such a different place. And how do I really find someone who meets me now where I'm at and now with what I want with that experience? So I think it's like having the right mirror and mentorship to support you, whether that's a therapist or a coach, just to really have that awareness be heightened. So then you can have an aligned kind of action plan similarly to start dating again and really be able to lean into like your identity, your new identity, like who you are now, what you're looking for now. And I find that that tends to be so powerful for women who have gone through that, because they're now coming in with a renewed sense of self and purpose and worth. And they're like, okay, I'm not going to re-enter that. So I need to do what it takes to make sure I'm not bringing to the dynamic what created that dynamic in the past.
Oh, that is so, so good. And I'm sure for a lot of people listening can definitely resonate as well, because like you said, it really starts within. It starts with you, starts with the patterns that you have. And usually there are, I would imagine too, from you being a therapist, like the signs that were either there that maybe we just like subliminally and subconsciously just pushed to the side, you know, but I think it's really powerful, especially as founders, you know, to really look at that and just be honest and really have that emotional intelligence and that awareness to say, okay, like, here's what's going really great, or here's where I need to support myself, you know, mm-hmm. to bring in that new love and support. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. And I just love you so much in this conversation. And I feel like this was such a beautiful part two to the conversation that I started on the podcast. Would love to know for you, like what's next in your world? You have these incredible programs, which by the way, guys, I'm going to link them in the show notes too. Where if you are looking to find love, maybe you're a therapist on here too, wanting to get support, you know, in your business, like you have so many things that are happening. So what's next for you and your brand?
Yeah. So we obviously, Hannah's been like a huge mentor and support and now friend, in the creation of our business and brand. And we're entering a pretty exciting phase where I am in the book writing process. So stay tuned for that. But you can kind of, if you're in my, join my world, you'll stay tuned into when all that is happening. I'm doing some big speaking engagements as well. And that's a really exciting thing for my personal brand, kind of going into that space of being able to help and create live experiences for people to go through, you know, relationship challenges, work through these things so that they can feel like that, how they want to feel abundantly in every area of your life, not just your business, not just your relationships, but just overall. And we also have our programs that run that help singles finding love, and then our business coaching program for therapists. So we run those with my team. And yeah, it's just an exciting time, but I'd love to connect and I love talking about all of these topics. So if you feel like, oh, okay, I need support or just feedback in this area, then that is my jam. So you're looking forward to connecting.
I love it. Well, thank you for just taking the time out today and sharing your wisdom and knowledge. This has been so incredible. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, so you can find me at The Date Dr. Christy on Instagram and my website, therapyfordating.com. We have some guides there that will help support you on your journey to finding love or creating a more fulfilling love in your relationship.
Amazing. All right, guys. Well, I'll put the show notes and all the links in the show notes for you guys. But thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you on the next episode.